Union University presents Faculty Focus, a series of podcasts illuminating the benefits of academic research leave. Faculty members at Union are awarded research leaves that vary in length from a semester to a full academic year. These concentrated studies frequently result in new publications and updated material for classroom teaching, but each experience is unique. Join us now as we document and showcase another research leave experience at Union University.
This is Mark Kaler at Union University, and I am joined today by Dr. James Patterson, the Associate Dean of the School of Christian Studies here at Union and a professor in that school. Dr. Patterson, thank you for being with us. Welcome.
Good to be here.
It's great to hear about these faculty research leaves, and you took one recently, and I would ask you to briefly describe what you did during your research time.
Okay, I was on leave in the spring of 2008. Unfortunately, that was the tornado semester, and it actually delayed some of my work because it also coincided with the death of my father-in-law. So I felt like I lost a couple weeks in the beginning, kind of getting up traction, but the rest of the semester went well. I had planned a book on J.R. Graves. Graves was considered the father of landmarkism in 19th century Baptist history.
Can you briefly describe what landmarkism is?
Landmarkism was a view that developed primarily on what we would call the frontier. He kind of launched his career in Nashville, which was considered frontier at that time, much smaller town obviously than it is today. Mm-hmm. A lot of denominational competition on the frontier and in places like Nashville. He felt it was important to maintain a very strong Baptist identity, perhaps a bit more rigid perspective than other Baptists would have felt at that time, but very strong on the local church, strong on the belief that Baptists had existed since the first century in an unbroken chain, and very strict on the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and what was an acceptable baptism and who could be admitted to the Lord's Supper and things of that sort. He obviously had a Tennessee connection. He was also a trustee at Union later in the 19th century. Actually, he served in that role in Murfreesboro at the Union campus there. And then when he moved to Memphis after the Civil War, he served the Jackson campus and was even chair at one point and is indeed the trustee who initially made the motion to accept women on the Jackson campus. But he's known more for his editing of the state Baptist newspaper that had several different titles. Most commonly was called the Tennessee Baptist, and he used that to promote his landmarkism. And he wrote several books as well. So I had done some initial work on him, kind of article-length things, and I decided that there really needed to be a book. There has not been a book-length study of Graves in any recent time, and in fact, the only book-length study was done by his son-in-law, and it's not very good. It was done quite a while ago. So I proposed this research leave, and I had a plan for a book. It involved some research here because Union has Tennessee Baptist materials, a fairly good collection actually in many respects. So I did some of my work here. I went to Nashville to the Southern Baptist Historical Library and Archives. I had planned one trip there. I ended up going three times during my research leave because of additional things I discovered and the need for more time. And that's an excellent resource. It's in the Executive Committee building there in Nashville, and just a great collection. I took one trip to Louisville, spent about 3 days on the Southern Seminary campus using their library, including some archival material. And I took a trip to Fort Worth and spent a week in the main library there at Southwestern Seminary. I happened to be a friend of the librarian, and he set me up really nice. And in fact, he and his wife opened their house to me while I was there.
That's pretty good.
Yes. So I was in, beyond Union, I was in three other libraries. Actually, I made a little visit to Belmont while I was in one of my trips to Nashville, because they had some Tennessee Baptist material that I believe now has gone back to the Tennessee Convention, but at the time was mm-hmm. still on the Belmont campus in their library. So obviously, library work was a good chunk of what I was doing. I didn't do a whole lot of actual writing during the leave time. The leave time was almost entirely devoted to research, gathering my information and my material. With the summer coming on, of course, then I was able to get into the writing. I commenced writing really in June. And I would say by the end of the summer, I had probably close to half of what I intended for the book.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that took a great deal of time. You're traveling. Mm-hmm. You're spending a great deal of time more or less immersed in this subject.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been very difficult to do that, I would suppose, if you were teaching classes and going about your normal academic routine.
It would have been impossible. The trip to Nashville, I might have been able to swing, or actually the three trips, because it's a shorter distance. But, you know, to talk about, you know, spending 3 days in Louisville and a week in Fort Worth, that would be hard to do. I mean, it would probably involve sacrificing a spring break. And, you know, between my teaching and administrative duties, it would have been extremely difficult. So I was grateful to have that time off, even with the rocky start. I still had several weeks where I could sustain my focus on this project.
Did you learn things about Graves that just astounded you? Obviously, mm-hmm. you were familiar with him before you even started, but was sort of a revelation sort of thing, or how far would it go?
I mean, he was an unusual person. I'd say he was a bit idiosyncratic. He was very gifted, even though he did not have much formal education. He was an effective communicator, and well, some would say propagandist. And he had some quirks. You know, most Baptists, for example, will use grape juice for the Lord's Supper. And his argument was that, you know, you go with the New Testament, you use real wine mm-hmm. for the Lord's Supper. He also had this thing with beards. And in fact, the portraits of him that are most common, his beard is very long. And he actually did a series. I shared this with a colloquium that we have in our department. I shared this last fall just to sort of start off with something a little more humorous. He wrote a 6-part series in the Tennessee Baptist not too long before the Civil War called The History of Beards, in which he was basically arguing that men should not shave, using a text out of Leviticus, you know, about not trimming the edges of your beard, calling it the sign of the male race. And he actually made some negative remarks about women as being weaker, and of course they couldn't grow beards, so men needed to, because one of the things that differentiated them from women. And
was that kind of talk accepted? Not so much the talk about women, but just his ideas taken from a sort of plucked from one verse in Leviticus. Was that an acceptable teaching back then?
Well, beards were probably more common in the 19th century than today. The full beard, I think, you know, today you have a lot of these goatees and mm-hmm. you know, partial hair
right.
on the lower part of the face. But the full beard was more common. I mean, a lot of our presidents in the 19th century had full beards. I don't think it was so common to base it on one text in Leviticus, because, you know, you can get into some real difficulties if you press Leviticus too far on other issues beside beards. So I'd say he was more eccentric on that point, and there probably weren't – I have not seen evidence of, say, other Baptist leaders who would have gone along with him on how he justified beards.
Huh. We're here with Dr. James Patterson, the Associate Dean of the School of Christian Studies and a professor here at Union University, and we're talking about his faculty research leave, studying the life and the teachings of Dr. Graves. How did this research leave benefit you as a professor, as a scholar? What sorts of things did you take away from it?
Well, just the actual work and being able to do really complete the major part of the research by the end of the spring semester, that was a great benefit in terms of actually getting all this into book form. I think also I teach Christian history, and every other year I teach a course in Baptist history, and I think some of what I found will spill over into those classes, both undergraduate and master's level. And I think the other, and I'm going to address this in the epilogue of my book, there's a major debate today about Baptist identity. What does it mean to be a Baptist? In particular, you know, what does it mean to be a Southern Baptist? And not everybody agrees on that issue. And to me, that's one of the things that Graves was addressing. You know, what does it mean to be a Baptist? Now, I happen to think he was wrong on several points, but I think he was right to raise the issue of identity. And I want to address, kind of update that whole thing in my epilogue, because there is this dialogue going on today. A lot of it's on blog sites, more so than in actual publications. And the disagreement is obvious. And, of course, Union has had Baptist identity conferences, and that's, I think, made a contribution.
And many points of view expressed at those. You're right, there wasn't one consensus, I don't think.
Exactly. I mean, there's a debate, for example, about how close are we to the Anabaptists? Mm-hmm. You know, is that one of the areas we go to help establish our identity? So that's certainly something that I've done a lot of thinking about, that based on the things I've read. And I've come across literature in the social sciences that address this whole idea of boundary setting. And, I mean, it's actually a very common thing, not just in religious circles, but in secular contexts as well. I mean, almost any human group, political, social, cultural, whatever, has certain boundaries. And my argument is that Graves, in one sense, was a boundary staker. Mm-hmm. And of course, that fits in with the frontier too, because
right.
You know, people are putting up fences and staking out what exactly their property is. Well, in one case, he actually used that kind of language describing what he was doing to a student about boundary setting. So I'm arguing that maybe one of his contributions was to stake boundaries. Now, we can disagree on whether his boundaries were the correct ones. I think maybe at times he drew them a little too narrowly, but it was a legitimate project. And it may suggest to us today that if we are going to maintain a Baptist identity, that there are some boundaries we need to talk about.
Will other scholars, do you think, pick up on some of your research and go off into directions perhaps that you weren't able to research given your time constraints?
Well, it's possible. There have been a number of dissertations on Graves that tend to be somewhat narrowly focused. There isn't really a pure biography. Now, my book will have a lot of biographical character to it, but I'm also trying to deal with the history of ideas, and especially things like ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, because that's the area where Graves seems to be the most concerned. It's quite possible that there could be takeoffs there. Plus, I will be spinning out some other things myself. I've been asked to write a chapter in a book that there is now a contract with University of Alabama Press. It's a multi-authored book, and it's going to be on ways that Baptists maybe have distorted history through certain biases or prejudices that have affected how they've interpreted the past. And my chapter is actually going to be on landmarkism and the way some of the modern Baptist historians, I think, perhaps have maybe not been fair to landmarkism. Now, I'm not a landmarkist, and I'm not sympathetic with a lot of their views, but I think that there's been distortion among some who really want to put distance between themselves and landmarkers. And so my chapter will be addressing that issue, and then several other chapters will be looking at other topics in Baptist history. So there's a chapter there, and then there's been at least preliminary conversations with a chapter in a different book, another multi-authored book on the doctrine of the church, and I would probably provide a chapter there on landmark understandings of the church to fit in with, you know, several other chapters that other authors will write.
Sounds like you have a lot of work ahead of you.
I do, but it's been fun.
Dr. James Patterson, Associate Dean, School of Christian Studies, and professor here at Union University, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark, for having me.
You've been listening to Faculty Focus, a production of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. Union integrates top-tier academics with Christ-centered learning in more than 100 fields of study. Union University, excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, future-directed.